Okay, at this time we have a scripture reading and a prayer. A scripture come from Sister Bonds, followed by a prayer by Brother Turner.
Good morning, can you hear me?
Yes.
And the eighth day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord has showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I read to you Second Chronicles 7, verse 8 through 14. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearers, and doers of his word.
Amen. At this time, we have a prayer by Brother Turner. Sister Reed, if you can hear me, I believe your phone is on mute.
All right. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
This morning, our Heavenly Father, it's again and again we come a servant. Thank you for last night laying down this morning, Lord. Thank you for this day, Lord, when the promise to. Oh, Lord, just bless each and every one who's on this program this morning, Lord. Oh, Lord, just bless the sick and shut in, Lord. Touch and move the pain from that body, Lord. Touch and heal them. Yes. Lead them, guide them where you see and shouldn't have them be, Lord. Oh, Lord, just lead them. Oh, Lord, just touch each and every one in the hospital. Touch and move the pain from that body, Lord. Touch and heal them. Lead them, guide them where you send them to heaven be, Lord. Oh, Lord, just bless the passion of Christ, Lord. Yes, oh, Lord, just help us be just where you send them to be, Lord. Loosen us with clean and right spirit, Lord. Yes, lead us and guide them where you send them to be. Blessing all you. Blessing our Christ. Amen.
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 Let's all say amen.
Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. We thank God for allowing us this opportunity to come once again on a beautiful Sunday morning to worship him in spirit and in truth. We just like to thank all of you for joining in with us this morning. I hope and pray that you get something out of the worship service, and doing so, give your heart to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We look forward and hearing the word today, and may God receive the glory. God bless you.
Amen. At this time, we'll now have a response by Sister Kurt.
Good morning, everyone. Giving praises to God, Bishop Pritchett, Minister Pritchett, Minister Reed, and all members. I thank God for allowing us to be able to worship again on this beautiful morning. And I pray we all can take something away from the message today that will continue to help us through this trying time. God bless everyone.
Amen. Thank you. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to assemble, Lord, at this time, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning, Lord, and clothing us in what we believe to be our right mind and giving us a reasonable portion of health and strength. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, despite what's going on, Lord, of this pandemic, despite, Lord, what's going on with the world and the economy, Lord, despite what's going on, the trials and tribulations that are raging, Lord, we know, Lord, that you are sovereign. Lord, we know that you're in control. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to share your gospel, Lord, the good news, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we don't take this opportunity for granted. Lord, bless each and every one that's on this call, Lord. Bless our pastor, Lord. Continue to touch his body, Lord. Continue to touch his heart, his mind, his body and soul, his throat, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will intervene, Lord, and that you will bless him, Lord, to have a full recovery, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those who are on this call, Lord. Bless each and every one's household, Lord. Lord, bless each and every one of their families, Lord. Continue to be with them, lead, guide them, and direct their path, Lord. Lord, we know, Lord, that the enemy comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But, Lord, you come so that we may have life and so that we may have it more abundantly, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, because even though, Lord, we know, Lord, that we're not going to be here always, Lord, but Lord, we know, Lord, that we can gain eternal life, Lord. As long as we confess our sins, Lord, you said that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. Lord, you said if we believe in you, Lord, you said, Lord, if we believe, Lord, and seek you, Lord, if we believe in your death, burial, and your resurrection, Lord, and your ascension, Lord, and we believe that you're coming back, Lord, for the church, Lord, we want to be ready, Lord, when you come, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to get ready, Lord. Help us, Lord, to stand boldly before you, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to do what you would have us to do, Lord, not our own, Lord. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, bless each and every one of us again. Lord, bless our church, the Pastor Christ First Community Church. Lord, help us and touch us, Lord, to continue to be a soul-winning church, Lord. Lord, even though, Lord, sometimes it seems like sometimes we get discouraged, but, Lord, we know, Lord, that that's what the enemy's job is to do, Lord. But, Lord, we know, Lord, that with you all things are possible. And Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. In Jesus' name, we do pray and ask it all. Amen. Our scripture for this morning will come from Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, verses 11 through 15. Exodus chapter 11. Verse 11. 15. One moment, let me mute somebody's phone here. If everyone have it, give me a thumbs up, please. All right. Okay, begin at verse 11, and it reads, And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. I'm going to go back to verse 15. The New International Version of verse 15, Exodus chapter 14, says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Tell the Israelites to move on. I want to talk briefly for this morning and preach from a thought. I must move on. I must move on. Say self.
Self.
I must.
I must.
Move on.
Move on.
Our subtopic for this morning is, it's time to cross over. It's time to cross over. Amen. Can everyone still hear me? Okay. I must move on. You will notice throughout the course of history that you can recall there have been some changes. What we may call new innovation, new ideas, new concepts, or best practices that have been put in place through trial and error. There's been new data, new technology, new philosophies, or ideologies that has shaped the course of our history and had a significant impact on our biosphere. Somebody said, what you say?
What you say?
Basically, what I'm saying is life, as we know, is changing every day. Once you think got something down, and you think you got something, and then before you know it, it just keeps evolving into something else. They come out with one cell phone, and then you think you got the latest and the greatest and the best, and before you know it, they come out with another cell phone and entice you to purchase that cell phone. And then once you think you got that down, then they introduce a new feature on a different type of cell phone. Then you got to go and get that. It's just the world is constantly what? Changing every day. Amen? According to CatSuccess.com, if you were born between the ages of 1964, anybody born between 1944 and 1964, you don't have to raise your hand. If you don't do it, you don't have to tell us. But if you were born between 1944, I see some people, don't get mad at me. Please don't get mad at me. But if you were born between the ages of 1944 and 1964, you're considered what is called the baby boomer. That's okay. You can say it. Say I'm a baby boomer. All right. That's all right. Baby boomers are the biggest consumers of traditional media like television, radio, magazines, and newspapers. The baby boomers' banking habits, according to this particular article, it says baby boomers, they prefer to go into a bank branch to perform transactions. This generation still prefers to use cash, especially for purchases. That's okay. That's all right. Then we have our next generation, Generation X, born between 1965 and 1979. Do we have any Generation X out there? Raise your hand. Let me see. Okay, I see Dee Dee. Okay. Is that Marcus too? All right. Is that Sharonda too? Nope. She said, "What you say?" I'm just kidding. Don't throw nothing at me. All right. But Generation X. What about Generation X? Well, Generation X, their media consumption, they still prefer to read newspaper, magazines, listen to radio, and watch TV. But they are digitally savvy, and they spend roughly about 7 hours a week on Facebook or more. Their banking habits, they do some research and on financial management online, but they still prefer to do transactions in person. They believe that banking is more of a person-to-person and feel, and they prefer to demonstrate their loyalty to whatever brand. So if you're consistent with one particular brand, you really don't want to change up because you pretty much believe in brand loyalty. And then you have Generation Y, between 1980 and 1994. 1980 and 1994. Anybody on the call? 1980, 1990. Okay, I'm an 80s baby. Any other 80s babies out there? Let me see your hand. Somebody gave a thumbs up. All right, we got the 80s babies. Well, this particular generation, Generation Y, 95% still watch TV, but they prefer Netflix or traditional cable as their preferred provider. They believe in cutting the cords. So if we can get away from the cable, we prefer to do live streaming. This is the millennials who have less brand loyalty, and they prefer to shop and get products and features based on apps on their phone. Don't really use the website as much, but they prefer to use apps on the phone to make purchases. And they seek digital tools and information, and their debt, and they see in their banks is transactional as opposed to relational. So different generations have different banking habits, different media consumptions. But then we have this Generation Z. This 1995 to 2019, anybody 1995 to 2019, this the Generation Z on the phone? Let me see your hand. Let me see. Well, this is part of the generation that we say, you can't tell them nothing. You can't tell them. Okay, you get the point. But this particular generation here, these children have received phones at maybe the age of 10 years old. Maybe 3 or 5 years old. Many of them grew up playing with their parents' mobile devices or tablets. yeah, I can attest to that. On average, it says that they spend about 3 hours a day on the mobile device. I don't believe that one. It's a little bit more than that. It says that this generation, they want to avoid debt and they appreciate accounts and services, but they really don't prefer to go into a bank. They really don't prefer to even sign up with a bank. If possible, they'd rather have a debit card to make transactions, but they really don't believe in going into a bank branch to apply for an account at Chase, Bank of America, or Wells Fargo. So that's that Generation Z. So now the problem with what I just informed you is that for many of us, we get caught in between the crossover of not trying to research or understand the generations that came before us and enlighten or educate the generations that come after us. Present generations are not really trying to learn about their history, about their forefathers, their ancestors, about where they come from, about their family members, and who's your cousin them, and who's your uncle, and all this stuff, because, well, you know it, if you're not careful, you end up going to school and possibly dating your own cousin if you're not careful, because we don't try to research our history. Some of y'all have seen and witnessed that on occasion or two. And then we can't really educate generations that come out of us because they have that you can't tell me nothing mentality. I know it all. This generation, I tell you, of children act like they've been here before. Like, I don't know, some of them 5 years old, but they're like they're 45 already. Like, slow your roll. Some of us, we want to be receptive to positive change, but mentally, it's exhausting trying to adapt to an ever so changing world or society that don't really understand or appreciate the ones who paved the way before them. As our baby boomers would say, you don't really appreciate the bridge that brought you over. You don't know about your history. You don't know about how people had to die in order for you to go and vote. You don't know about how people had to die in order for you to go into the restaurant.
Quit biting me. I see it.
Please mute your phone, please. You don't really try to understand your history. There's this thing called time. There's this thing called time, and if you know, you have your watch on, that time, as we say, time is not on our side. Time waits for no one, and we get lost, and some of us feel like the pause button has been selected in our lives, and we have no sense of direction. We have no sense of direction, causing us to question God by saying, is this all you have for me? Is this it? Is this what I have to look forward to? Or is this what being a Christian is all about? Some of you may recognize our text from the greatest event in motion picture in 1956 called The Ten Commandments. Anybody seen that movie? The Ten Commandments, 1956 version? Right before the crossing of the Red Sea, the Bible says that Pharaoh had to let the people go. And God had led them around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. Because God said if they were to face war, that they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them by what? A pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of a fire by night. At this time, they were camped at Etham, as the Bible says, on the edge of the desert. But the Lord told Moses, he told Moses to turn back and encamp near Pharatho between Migdol meaning watchtower by the sea. And by doing this, the Bible says that Pharaoh, he would think that the Israelites were wandering around and that they were being confused. And so this objective was to give Pharaoh and his officials, during this time they were thinking, well, wait a minute. They out there confused, they look lost. Wait a minute, what in the world have we done? He said, wait a minute, we let them go. And we lost all of their services. As to say that we have no slaves to work for us. Point number one, as you are trying to move, don't let the enemy make you a slave by going backwards. As you are trying to move, don't let the enemy make you a slave by going backwards. Yeah. You must remember that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and that Jesus, what? Jesus paid it all. And that you don't owe the devil, this deceitful, cunning snake, you don't owe him your mind, you don't owe him your body, and you sure don't owe him your soul. Don't let the enemy make you a slave by going backwards. And so now we find Pharaoh, he had his chariot made ready, and the Bible says that he took 600 of his best chariots along with all the other fleet of chariots in Egypt, and they pursued after the Israelites who were on foot marching out boldly. Here it is, they're on chariots, but here it is, the children of Israel, they're on foot. But Pharaoh was gaining on them, and the Bible says that the people that had questioned Moses, they said, didn't we tell you in Egypt to leave us alone? Some of us are like that right now. We tell people, leave us alone. We don't want to be bothered with nobody. We don't want to be bothered with you. We don't want to be bothered with the pastor. We want to be bothered with nobody that's trying to help and coach us throughout this thing called life with the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. But here it is, they're questioning him. We told you, didn't we tell you to leave us alone? And let us serve the Egyptians? Was there because there were no graves in Egypt? So you brought us out here to die. Some of you are telling the pastor, the preacher, and some of you are telling yourself without saying it, leave me alone and let me go back in service of who or what I want to serve. And God, he told us, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. He told us to what? Stand still and let the Lord fight your battles. But no, we got to put our hands and words from our mouth on it. But when he's speaking to us and telling us to move, our response is right now, but I'm not ready. We tell the Lord, I'm not ready. I got to get my mind right. I don't have the money. We tell him, I'm mentally drained and exhausted. But we start crying, Lord, I need you. Lord, make a way. Lord, do it for me. Lord, fix it. Don't fix me. Don't fix me, but fix it. Well, you saw the movie. In verse 16, God told Moses to raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea so the Israelites can go through on dry ground. Throughout the night, the Bible says that the cloud brought darkness on one side and it brought light on the other side. So neither, when they went alone, neither one of them witnessed night together at the same time. Later, Moses, the Bible says, he stretched forth his hand over the sea, and God drove the sea back with the strong east wind, the Bible says, and turned the sea into a dry ground, causing the water to divide with a wall. On the left side of water, there was a wall of water, and on the right side, there was a wall of water. And he divided the sea, and he allowed the Israelites to move and cross over to the other side while it was night. Oh, but at daybreak, God told Moses to stretch his hand so they could see the water flow back, and he drowned them all, even those who were turning around to escape. The Bible says when the Israelites, when they saw the mighty hand of the Lord, the Bible says that the Egyptians, they feared the Lord, and they put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. A lot of people nowadays, they're not fearing the Lord. They're not fearing the Lord. They're still playing around. They're still playing games. And if you see right now, if you watch the news, God is not playing games. God is not playing games. People are dying every day. Despite the COVID-19, despite the pandemic, people are still dying every day. Some people went out over the course of this weekend, went to some places that opened up, and some people got shot and killed just because there was a mixture of folks at a gathering that should have stayed at home. That happened over the weekend in multiple places. Some of us, we keep trying to make moves with people who are stuck and stagnant, who talk a good game, but when it's time to show up, they're nowhere to be found. They hype you up with a lot of pomp and circumstance, a lot of fanfare, but due to their lack of motivation, due to their low standards, due to their low self-esteem, no willpower, no lack of drive, no fortitude, no tenacity, they remain stuck in quicksand, pulling you right along with them. Pulling what? What are they pulling? I'm talking about your mind, and most of all, your soul. Some of us, we can't move on. We can't cross over to where God wants us to be because we're not tuned in with our star player. That's comedian said, you got to be tuned in with your star player. Who's your star player? That's you. Some of us, we're not tuned in with ourselves. We want to be tuned in with everybody else, do what everybody else wants us to do instead of what God wants us to do. That's you. You're your own star player. We're not aligned with the maker and the creator of all things. We're not aligned with God, Jehovah Almighty, El, the One. This is what is so important for us to recognize and why Jesus, he taught his disciples that when you pray, he said, say, our Father who art in heaven. This is imperative. This is important because that we recognize him as God, the Father who art in heaven, because there are so many gods with the little G, idol gods that people praise and worship every day. This is why we must recognize him as our Father who art in heaven. And remember that Isaiah 55 verses 8 through 9 says what? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We got to remember that. We need to get where God wants us to be. Stop stooping so low to other people's level. We got to move on. God, he wants us to cross over, but we got to move on from all of this, all these people that don't mean us no good. Things that's in our life don't mean us no good. Some of us, we got to realize you don't have to be stuck or trapped. Some of us have been crying for a long time. Some of us are not trying, but we say we have faith with no actions. The Bible says what? We know it. Faith without works is what? It's dead. We know that. Some of us, we've just been crying, we've been moaning, crying out to God, why? But we're not trying to put forth the effort. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? In verse 15, he told Moses to tell the children of Israel to what? Move on. Move on. They're instead of looking at how they're in pursuit, how Pharaoh and his army are in pursuit of them, they're still looking from a distance, and they're letting that get into their mind and say, oh, we might as well go on and turn back. We might as well go on and turn back and work for the master, continue to be a slave because they're about to gain on us. We might as well turn back. That's what some people are doing right now. They're saying, I need to turn back because this don't look so good. This is what the Spirit of the Lord is telling us today. We need to move on and stop trying and just do it. Some of us, we stop trying and we just done gave up. We just threw up our hands and said, oh, okay, well, because I'm this age and this and that, I'm just going to go ahead and coast through because I don't have nothing else to do. I done all I can do. I done poured everything that I can pour out to whomever. People don't want to hear me. They don't want to live. Okay, I'm just sit down somewhere. I don't have nothing that's better to do. Come on now. That's not the way it should be. We should move on. Whatever God has placed on your heart to do, if it's adopting children, do it. If it's mending a relationship and asking for forgiveness, guess what? Do it. If it's getting married, do it. If it's getting remarried, do it. Come on now, if you're fed up with loved ones who ain't acting right and you haven't fully turned it over to Jesus, guess what? Do it. Do it. Kicking unwanted and uninvited people out your house. Come on now. Well, guess what? Do it. If it's going back to school, guess what? Do it. You wanted to apply for a job or a career? What's stopping you? Do it. Opening up your businesses. Did y'all catch that? Businesses. Plural. Guess what? Do it. Going on a needed vacation. Oh, my goodness. Every time I take off, boy, it don't feel like I'm taking off. Do it. Establishing a book club, whatever it is, buying a house. More importantly, the main thing is gaining a closer relationship with God by really accepting his son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. Guess what? Do it. It's time to move on. You done it your way all this time. How about you try Jesus? I'm so glad that Jesus, he didn't try to die for my sins. Do y'all know that? Jesus, he didn't try. He didn't try to die for your sins. Guess what? He did it. He did it. He made a move twice. He prayed to God the Father twice and said, oh, my Father, if this cup, if it may not pass away from me, he said, except I drink it, guess what? Let thy will be done. It was too heavy for him. He knew what was going to happen. But guess what? He prayed earnestly to God. And guess what? He did it. He died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He didn't try. Not only did he die, but he rose again on the third day. He didn't try to rise. He rose again. Jehoshaphat, we got to learn how to move on and stop letting all of these things cloud our judgment, cloud our mind, overtake our mind, overtake our thoughts. We got to do it. Move on. God, he wants us to cross over, but some of us, we just looking at the enemy chasing us and pursuing us, and we already got our hands up. We're saying, I'm tired. I don't feel like it. I'm just gonna sit down and I'm tired. Dear hearts, we gotta do it. We have to move on. Whatever it is, God, he wants us to move on. Move on from our brokenness. He wants you to move on from your hurts, your fears. He wants you to move on from your old relationships, your past mistakes, whatever you think your old flaws are. Whatever your lack thereof you think you got, move from it. Move on. You can do it. Tell yourself. Say, self.
Self.
I must move on.
I must move on.
I must move on.
I must move on.
Get out the way.
Get out the way.
We have to tell ourselves, get out the way. Some of us, we're not letting God take control because we are in the way. It's time for us to move on and let God fully take control of our lives. We say we accepted him. Some of us, we say we accepted him. Some of us, we really haven't because we're not allowing him to take control. That song says what? I surrender all. Have you truly surrendered all for God to take over and move you where he wants you to be? Some of us, we're still backpedaling. We're going backwards because of that feeling. We think that because it felt good or it pleased us for 2 minutes, we think, oh, I got to go back to it. We're not fully allowing God to take control over us. What are you talking about? Again, I'm talking about take control of our mind. Take control of our mind. Because if we don't, our soul will be lost. We have to allow him to what? Abide in us and take residence. We got to move on. We got to press toward the mark. It's time for us to cross over to where God wants us to be. Stop crying about it. Do something about it. Stop whining and complaining. Oh, me. Do something. Whatever it is that God has placed on your heart to do, do it. It's time. It's time. Don't let the enemy block you from your blessing. You know, there was a song we used to sing when I was little. It used to say, I keep on serving God. No matter what the devil sends my way, I keep on serving him in spite of. Dear hearts, I hope this has blessed you this morning. I hope something was said that you can share and take and receive and share it with someone else. But y'all got to know, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter what you think your setbacks are, God, he's able to help you to move on and cross over to where he wants you to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. At this time, we'll now have Pastor open up the doors of the church.
We thank God for the message. And we thank God today for Minister Jerome, the messenger. For at times like these in which we live, those of us who are following Christ, it's time for us to move on and quit living in the past. Satan have some of us still trapped in the past. We can't seem to go any further because we're scared, because Satan have some of us bound. But we need to start singing that song more often. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Sing a glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. If you're tired of living trapped, bound, scared to move on and deliverance. Because Christ said, I came that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly. If you're ready for a full deliverance, mind, body, and soul, you need to let go and let Jesus have his way in your life. The doors of the church is open. There may be someone who wants to surrender your whole life to Christ. Now's the good time, and the day is a mighty good day for you to surrender all to Christ. Because it said, I'm standing at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and harden not his heart, I will come in. I'll sup with you and you with me. Amen. Sister Pritchett, are you with us? Mama Pritchett?
I'm here.
Can you sing a verse or two? I surrender all as we open up the doors of the church.
Okay, Sister Reed, you have to help me. I'm down.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Just gonna do the chorus. I surrender. I surrender. Savior, I
God bless you. We open up the doors of the church. Was there anybody who wanted to join the church today? There's time for you to say so. If not, I assume that all is well with all of our souls. We will continue to go further into our program this morning. Okay, Jerome, Mr. Jerome.
Hey, man, at this time we're now up to our tithes and offerings. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. Beginning at verse 5 and the following verses. And reach trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Dear hearts, each and every one of us know how we can give our tithes and offerings, how we can give it electronically. And we're asking for y'all to please do so. We'd like to thank each and every one for those who had cash, who met and picked that up on yesterday. I'd like to thank each and every one for you for doing that. We're still asking for each and every one of us to please continue to support our building fund. This is a new month by giving $80 to our building fund to go along with our project that we're still paying on. And so we're asking that you still continue to give your tithes offerings and also a sacrificial offering to our building fund of $80. And we'd like to thank you all who have done it. Some of you have even done it online this week and pay your tithes and offerings and building funds. So we'd like to thank you for those who have done it already before this today. Thank you. Okay. At this time.
Jerome.
Yes, sir.
If you don't mind, let me have just a few words concerning our tithes and offerings. My brothers and sisters, I'm saying this from my heart. I want you to know and understand that God is sovereign. He's in control of all of our life circumstances. And we must keep in mind that he requires us to be stewards, good stewards of everything that he has given us. Even through the times of our trials that we're going through now, God intends for us to be faithful over a few things. It's not time for us to start saying that we're scared and making all kinds of excuses for not paying our tithes and our offerings. Just a word to remind you, you can't rob God and think you're going to get away with it, because the tithes automatically belongs to him. And because God has been so good to us, we ought to give him more than our tithes and our offerings. Now, Minister Jerome, he don't want to put you out there. He don't want to expose you. On those of you who said that you love the Lord And you know, action speaks louder than words. Amen. Action speaks louder than words. And here we are. We still have numerable amounts of bills that we need to pay at our church. Only a handful of us is doing what we're supposed to do, for it's paying our tithes and offering. Some of us is giving well above what we're supposed to give, because we know that some of you, you're not supporting the church. I'm not threatening nobody, but I want to remind you, back in the day, if you didn't pay your tithes and offering and you held office, you would be removed from your office if you're not a supporter of the church. I want you to know that God is looking and looking. And I already told you, he has made the stewards. Don't let him have to take what you have, your blessings, away from you and show you that you can't make it without him. Everything we have belongs to God. So my beloved brothers and sisters, let's do everything we can by faith. And let God know by our actions that we really love him. Please, let's do better than what we're doing, because this weight is on a few of us, and we don't mind giving. And I'm telling you, you can't beat God's giving. The more we give to God, the more God gives back to us. And some of us know we can do better. Only thing we have to do is ask God to deliver us from these cigarettes, from smoking dope, from drinking alcohol, from partying, and all that foolishness. And let's give God his due. God bless. Thank you. I know we're all going to do better. All right, Jerome. Mr. Jerome.
Amen. At this time, we now have our announcements coming from Sister Pritchett. I do have some on the screen here if she's able to see. If not, I'll read these after.
Her speaker's off.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, we hear you, but we can't hear her.
Okay,
here it is.
Am I on now?
Yes, ma'am, we can hear you.
Okay, giving praise to God, honor to Pastor Bridget, to all our members and assemble. Your announcements for today. I thank you, Minister Pritchett, for putting everything on here, because I'm getting up in age now. But I see them all. He is letting us know that first he has pastor, and I was going to say that first anyway. If y'all notice, he's not wearing his brace. He is really recovering very well. He is healed, and we're praying for him. Keep praying for him. And also we have Brother James Brown, who is in Charlton Methodist Hospital. So Sister Cathcart is on the line. Good to see you, Sister Cathcart. And Dee Dee, the Lampkin family. And also Sister Brown. We're praying for all of our sick and shut in. Temporarily, they're shut in temporarily. And also our birthdays, happy birthday to Sharonda. Hers is May 8th. I don't know. I think she'll be 40-something. I think she's closer to 50-something. And Sister Victoria Perry is May the 10th. Sister Kokisha Bridget, 13th. And Pastor is May 16th. Christian Kirk is May 20th. Miracle.
Phils. If I went back on mute.
Can you hear you, Carolyn?
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Okay, it was covered up at the bottom. I see Miracle Fields, she's May 22nd, and Aria Gillespie, May 29th. We hope you all have a wonderful birthday, and God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. At this time, we'll now have a thank you coming from Sister Kokisha Pritchett.
Good morning. Giving praises to God.
She's on mute. We can't hear.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. Oh.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning. Okay. I said good morning. Giving praise.
Good morning.
Mr. Pritchett, my husband, who preached an amazing sermon, and to Minister Reed. On behalf of the Passion of Christ First Community Church, we would like to thank each of you for joining in via Zoom. We hope you have been blessed by this worship experience, and we hope and pray you will take the word that was shared with you today and share it with someone else. Again, thank you.
All right. Mr. Jerome, you're gonna have to help me too. I can't see the program, the outline of the program.
Communion.
Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. At this time, I want to call your attention to two passages of scripture. The first one is found in St. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 29. You'll find these words. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the works of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said to him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What does thy work? Our father did eat manna in the desert, and it is written, he gave them bread from from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and gave his life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. For I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Oh, that the Father give me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of the Father, will he has sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise him up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life, and on me have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father, mother, and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves, for no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, I will raise him up in the last day. Amen. Also in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just a few verses. Begin with verse 23. It says, For I am received the Lord, which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, and my blood, this do in remembrance of altar and drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat the bread and drink this cup of the Lord's unworthily shall be guilty of the body, the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. We just want you to understand that the sacrament is Jesus Christ himself. A sacrament is seen as a means of grace from God. And when Jesus Christ in chapter 6 was revealing to his people, the Jews and the Pharisees and the scribes, that there was being ushered into a new covenant, not based upon the old covenant that God had established with Abraham through the circumcision of the flesh, but he was introducing a new covenant based upon God's grace. And doing so, they was not prepared for it. Only his disciples, who was walking close with him, had faith in him to believe that what he said would come to pass. And the Bible says, because he told them that he was the bread of life, and except they eat of his body, drink of his blood, they can have no part with him. Many of them said that's a hard saying. And many of them had turned away and walked away from Christ because they thought that he was trying to make them become cannibals. But the bread which he was referring to is himself, and it was a foreshadow of the things which was to come. And only thing they had to do was be patient and continue to follow Christ, and then they would understand the full meaning of the Holy Communion, which is the Lord's Supper. Now, according to the sacrament, the scene and the grace of God that was given to us with Jesus Christ, and the ordinance that is practiced demonstrate the participant faith. And I want you to know that we have faith in him based upon his word. And the Bible lets us know that on the night that Jesus Christ and his disciples had entered to the upper room and it was celebrating the Passover feast, Jesus took bread and he blessed it. He took wine and he blessed it. And he told his disciples that the bread was his body and the wine was his blood. And as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And in doing so, you're eating my body and drinking my blood. And as often as you do this, you're going to have everlasting life based upon your faith in me. So as we come here this morning to partake this holy sacrament, this communion, we want you to know that the bread that we hold in our hand is a type of Christ. And the wine is also a type of his blood. But notice what the Apostle Paul says, examine yourself and see whether or not that you're in the faith. Because we want you to know that you're not supposed to take this communion if you don't really have faith in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. If you don't really believe that he is your bread of life and this wine is what we get our redemption from, which is his precious blood. So the bread that we hold in our hands, take it. Though you have your bread, take it. Eat it. The wine is a symbol of his blood. Drink it. In obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do it as a memorial service unto him. and reverencing him and thanking God for his saving grace by we acting according to faith in his holy word. God bless you. Well, I guess I'll sing a song. We come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He never failed me yet. Oh, curtain around, he never failed me yet. God bless you today. Now back in the hands of Minister Jerome.
Amen, dear house. We'd like to thank each and everyone once again for joining on Zoom this morning. And now for our benediction. After this, I'll stop the recording and unmute the lines. By the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, we guide the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit. Rest, rule, and abide with each of you until we meet again. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Okay, one moment, everyone, if I may stop the recording.